God is good all the time. Okay, we're going to read. There we go. From Romans 13. Romans 13. 11 to 14. And all of our thinking over the next few weeks should be about Jesus coming into the world and how we need to get ready for that. So let's read this with that thought in mind. Romans 13, 11 to 14. This is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armour of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarrelling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. So in this season, we're thinking about how can we prepare the way of the King? How can we prepare for the coming of Jesus into the world? And Paul there tells us, towards the end of that passage, verse 14, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess that's something that we should do in all of our lives, not just in the Advent season, but our whole lives, every day, not just Sundays, should be covered with Jesus, clothed in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Here's an illustration. So we think getting dressed and clothing ourselves means putting on little bits of clothing, especially this time of the year. But Paul's there saying, how to do this. It's been a year or two. Okay. The idea of this particular item of clothing, which is very popular in some denominations, is that when I put that on, I've covered myself from head to toe. Well, you know, except for the facey bit. And now you can't see me. The idea is you're not supposed to be looking at, yeah, my old shirt that I've been wearing for about the last 4 years, or the quality of my pants or anything like that. It's all gone. It's all covered under the brightness, the cleanness, in theory, of Jesus. And every day we should be like that. People should be able to look at us and not see us so much as they see Jesus. And that's what Paul's talking about here. Don't know how long I'll be able to wear this before it gets too claustrophobic. Anyway, so how do we do this? How do we clothe ourselves with the presence of Christ Jesus? Well, firstly, we need to repent. Paul tells us to take off your dirty clothes. I wasn't going to do that to you. But take off your dirty clothes. Take off the worldliness that normally surrounds us and that we take on and has become part of our identity just by virtue of living in this society in which we will. And we need to repent of everything that's not godly and put on the God stuff. Let's get rid of the stuff that we do. And he gives some examples there of, you know, drunken parties and what else? Sexual promiscuity and drunkenness and immoral living and quarrelling and jealousy. And you might say, well, I don't do any of that. Well, maybe not. Maybe you haven't been to a drunken party lately. But, you know, what about when you get cranky with people at work or your kids or your wife or your husband? What about, you know, those TV shows that you watch that aren't honouring to God in any way at all? What about, you know, the fighting and the jealousy? Well, that might be good enough to get started with. You know, I don't have too many fights. Or what about, you know, now who was I? Where was that last night? wasn't caring. Somebody trod on their foot with a heel. Who was that? It was somebody. Anyway, at Crystal's Park, and it was a bit of a surprise. They said, "Oh, I just trod on my toe with my heel, and I didn't swear." It was like that was close, but we got away with it that time. I'm trying to think who it was. And anyway, you know, but when things like that happen, and you know, you let one rip that you didn't expect to go. It just shows what's really in your heart, doesn't it? So we need to examine our hearts and say to God, all right, God, you know, maybe I've got this Jesus clothes on, but there's a few stains that need removing. So we need to repent. We need to, the word repent means we turn away. And why do we need to do that this time of the year? Well, if the Queen announced that she was coming to visit 4 Moolabar Street, that's our place, just there, there would be a little bit of activity prior to that happening. Like, depending on how much notice we got, like, you know, you might want to mow the grass. We might want to do some painting. We might want to get Dave in to do all those jobs that we've been promising to do. You know, when we moved into our house, there was a little whiteboard there that the Billy had with his list of jobs. And one of them was pull down the front veranda. And it's still there 25 years later. Some things just resist change. And our house is one of them. Anyway, yeah, so you might want to spruce the joint up a bit, mightn't you? And you, yeah, put away last year's Christmas cards. And you might pick up the 3-year-old tissues that are lying on the floor. You might even go a bit wild and vacuum. Who knows? Because we want to make a good impression. Well, and when she turns up, you want to make sure you've got your good clothes on and you've had a shower that week. But here's the thing. The King is coming. Jesus is coming and we need to be ready. And that means we need to clean up our act, clean up our hearts, prepare for the coming of the King. Repentance is a word that people don't often like that much, but it's a word that should fill us with joy, because the thing about repentance is it's a chance to get our lives in order with what we were created to do. It's a reminder of what's important about our lives. We get so easily sidetracked with the concerns of the world. You know, this morning I came over to church to pray. I was a bit late because Phil stole my shower slot. I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning to have a shower. And a minute before I got up to have a shower. But anyway, so I was a bit late coming over. And every week I come over, same routine. I'm usually in here by 6:30 and, you know, pray. Well, this morning the computer was a bit of a distraction and there were things that I needed to check up. And before long it was 7:30 and I hadn't prayed. And before long it was 8 o'clock and I hadn't done much praying at all. And I thought, man, I have just wasted this morning. Well, it's not that anything that I did wasn't worth doing and didn't need to be done. It was just less important than the main thing, which was praying. And I'll speak for myself. I find that so easy to do all the time. God has given me tasks to do in my life. He's given me a goal to aim for. And what am I doing with most of my life? Spending time on the computer, you know, just doing stuff that doesn't really matter that much. And we're all like that. Your weakness is different to my weakness. You might, you know, get lost shopping or get lost on eBay or whatever it is. And but we get distracted and we set ourselves goals. Oh, look, I really want to go to New Zealand. I want to really go for a holiday. I really want to. And that sort of starts to dominate our thinking and God takes the second spot and we need to repent of all that and put God back in the centre. And the good thing is when we do that, when we put God in the centre, it's not like we give up a whole bunch of stuff, because sometimes you have to do that, but he gives us more than what we actually give up. And that's the good thing. And we find that we're running in, it's like, you know, putting your car in for a service. It runs so much better. Well, when they do the job properly, run so much better afterwards than before. And we need to do that. We need to come back to God regularly and say, right, Lord, what is in my life that is displeasing to you or is a distraction from the main goal, and help me to put that aside and to seek you and to do the thing you've called me to do and put you at the center instead of these other things. That's what repentance is about. And we find that it just brings so much joy when we do it. And I'm getting a bit too hot in my overalls here. So. Oh, the good thing about these is the floppy sleeves. This is what I used to wear these to funerals when I was conducting funerals. Hot day, turn the air conditioning vents on full volume, you're holding the steering wheel, and the wind just blows up there, right down, right down. Well, that's a great thing about that. But anyway, I haven't got air conditioner right in front of me right now, so I'll dispose of that. Anyway, putting on Jesus. So the first thing we need to do is repent. Secondly, we need to start doing the things that Jesus did. Seems obvious, doesn't it? But we don't always get it. So there's two parts to this. Firstly, we need the character of Jesus. And Paul's alluding to that a fair bit. You know, Jesus did a whole lot of things, but he tended not to get drunk. He tended not to commit adultery. He tended not to tell lies. So we need to take on the virtues, if you like, the behavior of Jesus, the character of Jesus. And if you want to see that spelled out, Galatians 5:22-23 talks about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, as a result of having the Holy Spirit in our lives, there are certain things that should start to flow out of us, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I think I got all nine. Those are the things that should, you know, if you want to summarize, describe the character of Jesus, that's what it's, those terms would be what you would use, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask ourselves, well, is my lifestyle reflecting the nature of Jesus? Am I doing the things that Jesus would do? Am I obeying Jesus? Am I imitating him in my daily walk? Yeah, to help you do that. Read the Bible and do what it says. That's the hard bit. Do what it says and take on the nature of Jesus. Are we imitating his nature? Are we imitating his deeds? Are we seeking the lost and sharing the good news with them? Are we being generous in our heart and in our spirits? The second thing about putting on Jesus is the power of Jesus. I love the way the New Living put that, verse 14, clothe yourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus. We need to have both the nature of Jesus in terms of his character, but we also need to have nature of Jesus in terms of his power. And Paul describes those, of course, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. But, yeah, through the Gospels, we see Jesus doing amazing things, healing the sick, raising the dead, turning water into wine, conducting miracles, and all sorts of things, casting out demons. They are the deeds of righteousness that God has called all of us to do. And Paul talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, things like words of knowledge, words of wisdom, faith, healings, and a whole bunch of others, miracles. They're not quite prophecy, speaking in tongues and discernment of tongues. Discernment of spirits. Anyway, so interpretation of tongues. That's it, and discernment of spirits. There's nine there altogether. And we need those in our lives too. Otherwise, we're not reflecting the true nature of Jesus. If we're walking around just being good people, people will say, oh, Kerry's a nice lady. She's, you know, always happy and cheerful. But, people aren't impressed with that so much as they are by when we pray for them to be healed and Jesus shows up and heals them, or when we pray for miracles to happen in people's lives. So we need to do that, to have that double aspect of the character of Jesus and the power of Jesus, the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we combine all those together, we're putting on the presence of Jesus, clothing ourselves in the presence of Jesus. And the goal of all this is that when we're doing our daily thing that we do, people don't so much see us as they see Jesus in us, Jesus through us, and Jesus amongst us. And finally, this has to be a continuous thing. The thing about getting dressed is that most of us do that every day. I know a few people that think, yeah, one set of clothes is good for a week, and Suzanne's put a hand up to agree with that, but I usually see her in more than one set of clothes per week. Anyway, but yeah, getting dressed is something that we do every day. In the same way, putting on Jesus is something that we should do every day. The moment you get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, think, I'm meant to be carrying Jesus. I'm meant to be reflecting Jesus today. I know that's a bit hard before you've had coffee, but try it, you know, when you get out of bed. Lord, be with me today. Shine through me today. And just really seek the presence of Jesus in your life. When you go to work, you know, when you arrive at the office or school or whatever, remind yourself, I am supposed to be reflecting Jesus today. Jesus should be shining through me today. And you might need to remind yourself of that, you know, five times in the first minute, because people that you work with often have the ability to stir up the old nature a bit. But, yeah, just remind yourself. Ask God for the fruit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to get you through the day, living as Jesus would in that situation. When we get dressed, we need to think, I'm putting on Christ. When we get out of bed, we need to think, I'm putting on Christ. All through the day. And the goal of all this is that not only that people just see Jesus amongst us, but they start to get a vision of what the kingdom of God might look like. I've been reading a couple of books by Bill Johnson lately, and I just love what he says. He says, the Lord's Prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the mandate for Christians, is to bring heaven down to earth. And how do we do that? By putting on the presence of Christ, being in constant communion with God all day, every day. And, you know, that's a discipline that you have to learn. And it's not good enough just to do it on Sunday, and it's not good enough just to do it for your morning devotions. But we're supposed to be taking Jesus into the world with us. And, and so that's the goal of all this. On Wednesday night, I shared earlier that in our cell group, we just went from, we did a couple of prophetic exercises which encouraged people just to listen to what God might be saying to another person. We got together in pairs and just said, Lord, show me a colour or a body part that relates to this person. Then we listened and then show me what it means. And all sorts of good things happened out of that. But then we flowed into healing, and that was pretty good too. We had some pretty awesome prayers for healing. Now, I'm thinking that that should be the way we're operating every day, learning to listen to God and saying to God, all right, God, what do you want to say for, like Rosina? What message do you have for Annabelle today, or for Kathy, or for, you know, that grotty year 9 kid that always gets up my nose? What's the message? What is it, God, you want to say to that person? What do you want to do in their lives? We can all do that. We can all think about doing it. As we learn to practice the presence of God, as we learn to clothe ourselves with Jesus, as we walk in that discipline, reminding ourselves constantly of who we are and who we stand for, that stuff starts to become natural. And that's God's plan is that, or God's desire for us is that this is a continuous process, daily process. When Holly read the reading from Isaiah at the beginning, you might have heard it was about light coming into the darkness. We light a candle to represent the light of God coming into the darkness. You go to work on Monday because you are the light of the world going into the darkness. Trouble is most of us blow our candles out before we get there. We take Jesus off and put on our work clothes. Jesus is more reflective than your high visibility work gear. He is the one that people should be seeing when we're at work. So let me encourage you. This is a lifetime project. This isn't something that you learn to do today, and then you get that pat and move on to the next thing. This is a lifetime project, and the real goal of it is learn to be Jesus wherever you are. Learn to reflect the glory of God wherever you are. Some people have got pretty nifty little ways of helping them to remember that. Yeah, you can set, if you've got a watch like mine, you can set that to give a little beep every hour on the hour. You could do that and just as a reminder to pray and to seek God just for 30 seconds during the day. Or you can set your phone to do something different times of the day, just to make a little noise and whatever. But we just need to remind ourselves, seek God, pray. I'm here to represent Jesus. Whatever it is, however it works, just do that and you'll see amazing things happen in your day. Father, you call us, you've commanded us to put on the presence of Jesus, to clothe ourselves with the presence of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you show us exactly how to do that. Lord, show us, each of us, what we need to repent of, what we need to put aside, and what we need to take on. Lord, show us the sins that are in our lives that distress you. But also show us, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit that we need to be exercising in our lives. Show us what we need to take off, and show us what we need to put on. And Lord, I know that as we do that, we'll become more like Jesus. I know, Lord, that as we do that, we'll become ready for our great meeting with you, ready for the day of salvation, as Paul describes it, ready for the day when you are revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, Lord, do what you need to do in our lives. Make us more like Jesus every day, and make us able to be that light in the darkness that reflects the coming into the world of our God. Amen. I